Wonderful. Well, if you weren't here last night, as I said, we had a great time. Curtis has been coming here since, we think, either 1998 or 1999. I think in 1998, Ray and I went to Toronto and we approached Curtis and said, would you consider coming to Manchester to a nice little church in tropical, sunny Salford? And here it is, warm again. It's always warm in Texas. Tropical. It was cold in Canada when you left. But here we are, tropical sunny Salford. Anyway, it's great to have Curtis back with us after a break of a few years when we didn't have him for a while. But it's great to have him back with us, so I'm going to hand over to Curtis now.
Thanks, John. Well, good morning, folks. You okay? I'm going to use this very stately pulpit here. Oh, gosh, help me. Thank you. Yeah. It's really good to be back with you. You know, it's been 6 years, eh? Like, that's insane. How did 6 years just go, whoosh, you know? My goodness. You know, before I left, you know, there's so many who were not married, and now they're married and have kids, and, you know. Wasn't it cute, this little one here doing worship this morning? I just love that, you know. It's so neat. But it's such a pleasure to be back with both of you again. And thank you so much for having me, guys. The Lord really bless you. And, you know, I just really love your hearts, you know. You've got such an amazing heart for God's people. And the Lord bless you for that. You know, folks, I really want to encourage you as a local church this morning. That's really the mission for this morning. I'm a firm believer that whatever God does, whatever He's initiated, He wants to keep going and He wants to grow. How many of you know that God loves things that grow? Okay, two of you agree with me. Boy, we're going to have some trouble again this morning. God loves things that grow. As a matter of fact, that's how He set everything up. And what I've discovered in the Bible is that He usually kills things that don't grow. He doesn't like things that don't grow. God hates stagnation. He hates waters that stink. He's, you know, when we see Him in the scriptures, we hear the language of the river. We hear language of fire. God loves moving, growing, organic things. God is organic. That's how He is. When he created things, He created them to be able to duplicate and to replicate and to continue. And, you know, and I really feel that whatever the Lord starts, He wants it to continue to go and continue to grow and continue to expand and continue to bear fruit. We've been called, you and I have been called to bear fruit. Jesus said in John 15 that we have been called to bear fruit. He said, abide in the vine and you will do what? You will bear much fruit. And that's God's heart. It's always been His heart. Now, you know what? There are times in our lives where you know, we kind of hang on the vine and we're not doing anything. Right? There's times in our lives, isn't there, folks? There's times in our lives where we're not bearing fruit for whatever reason. Whether it's that we're in sin, or whether we're out of the will of God, or whatever it is. And we call them seasons, don't we, where things happen in our lives. And we all go through. I went through it. Man, I tell you, the last 6 years, we would be here from now until 6 o'clock tonight if I told you all the stuff that we've been through. My Lord. I just sometimes thought I might as well just pack this thing in and become a Buddhist or something. You know, I mean, I've been through hell and back, folks. It's been really, really tough. And, you know, I understand as I travel all over the world, I travel all over the place. I understand that, you know, a lot of us, not a lot, every one of us who have been in this flow of God for the last, you know, over 10 years now, have gone through it. You know, we're all going through it. But there's times in our lives where, for whatever reason, we go through times when we're not bearing fruit. But here's the deal. Here's the cool thing about it. We can call those, I don't know, whatever. We can call them whatever we want. But Jesus termed it this way. He said, the Father will prune the branch so that it will become even more fruitful. So there we go again. The reason we go through the crap is because, it's okay to use that word in church, right? Yeah? I mean, we use it at home, but why can't we use it at church? No, you don't use, okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's okay. You don't need the translation for that. You know, the only reason we go through that stuff is so that God, when He prunes us, we would be more fruitful. He wants us to be more fruitful. That's the whole purpose of all of this. God loves things that grow. He created us. He designed us in such a way that we grow. When Jesus comes into our lives, the Bible says that He is deposited into us like a seed. And Paul says, when Christ is fully formed in you. What is that? It's growth. Jesus that's in us. Do you know that some of us in this room here today have more of Jesus in us than others? The Bible says, though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. There's a place for that. Listen, God is not a masochist. God is not just interested in having us suffer for the sake of suffering. He's not interested in that. It's the devil that comes to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it. Whoa. Now, how many of you have been through that dark season of the soul and you think, that ain't true? I'm not experiencing abundant life. I'm experiencing abundant death. Where you feel that the life is being sucked out of you. Have any of you been there? Well, here's the reality. The reality is that if you will stay the course, God loves it when we stay the course. Like I said last night, there is absolutely no excuse for us not to believe the promises of God. Yeah, but I prayed for this person 1,000 times and they never got healed. As a matter of fact, they died. Remember I said what we do? We build these superstructures of doctrine to support our unbelief. No! No! We don't have an option. We have to believe God. Well, what if it doesn't happen? So what if it doesn't happen? We have to believe what God says. And He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. Amen? Hey, so you know what? The reason we go through the testing and the trials and the tribulations and all that stuff is not because God's interested in bringing us low. Folks, you know, a lot of humility is really pride in reverse. I've been places and I've said to people on worship teams, I love them, especially musicians, they're the best, especially when they're religious. They're the best to mess around with. And you say, you know what, you really sounded great today. Oh, it wasn't me, it was God. No, it wasn't, stupid. It wasn't God singing, it was you singing. You know, well, I just want to be humble. No, no, you don't want to be humble. As a matter of fact, that's pride. You know what humility is? Humility, true humility, is knowing exactly who you are. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, well, yeah, you know what, it was good today. I was on the mark today. It sounded great, didn't it? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit. And the reason we go through the things that we go through is so that He'll bring us to that place of fruitfulness. Amen. And here's what I want to say to you this morning as a church. God wants this church to explode with all of the good things that He has for you. And I am going to declare that in this place today. I establish it in the name of Jesus, that this fellowship is going to grow and is going to bear much fruit and is going to accomplish the purpose of God. I speak into the life of this church in the name of Jesus that many souls will come to Christ and will live here. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that many souls will come to Christ in this place, and this place will be full of little infants in Jesus. I declare it in the name of Jesus that this church will have an impact in the city like it's never seen before. I declare in the name of Jesus that this entire church will flow with a river of salvation as people come to Jesus. Amen. I declare it in Jesus' name. Curtis, why are you doing that? You know why I'm doing that? Because it's funny, the places that I've done it, it's worked. Well, you think you're a great man of faith, don't you? No. It's worked, though. I was in New York City years ago, Brooklyn, New York. Man, and this thing came on me like it's coming on me today for you. And I started declaring it. People were looking at me like I was weird. I got a phone call about a year later, and the pastor said, you got to come back, because exactly what you said is happening. Amen. And I declare it, and it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going somewhere. Folks, you know what? As I said, God loves things that grow. Well, Curtis, are you saying that bigger is better? I'm not saying bigger is better. I'm saying better is better. What is better? It's better that every single one of these seats are filled to capacity. That you got to pull these rows all the way up to here, and the worship team's got to stand with their back to the wall worshiping. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please. I want to read a couple of scripture verses to you, and then we're going to bounce back to that thought again. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 33, and I'm going to share something with you out of the scripture. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence even more in this place. Oh, God, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, thank you for the healings that you've done so far. Folks, I'm telling you something. Bring the sick tonight. I'm telling you, bring the sick tonight. Yank them out of the bus if you have to. I'm telling you, God's going to do... I mean, we thought last night was amazing. Bring the sick. The Holy Spirit's going to do some awesome stuff tonight. This is Moses, you know, in his relationship with God. He had a very special relationship with God. And Moses, it says in Exodus 33, verse 7, used to take a tent and pitch it outside a camp some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meeting. And this is a place, of course, we know where Moses would go and meet with God. And right down the bottom, Moses said to the Lord in verse 12, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and yada, 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 you have found favor and pleased me. If you are pleased with me," verse 13, "teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you." Look at that, eh? Folks, you know, I think somewhere in the Psalms it says that the children of Israel knew the mighty acts of God. Moses knew God's ways. You know? And there was a season where we kind of went through the, "Well, we don't want your hands, Lord, we want your heart." Well, you know what? That season's over. We want everything! We want his hands and his heart. We want to cry out for spiritual gifts. Paul said, "Eagerly desire them." Church, we got to get hungry. We got to get greedy for the power of God. Well, what if nothing happens? Shut up about that, "what if nothing happens." It doesn't matter. We just keep hungering until it comes. Come, kingdom of God. Be done, will of God. That's what Jesus told us to pray. Well, it wasn't me. I didn't write it. Jesus said to pray that way. So this is the way you ought to pray. We have to keep hungering for the power of God. But you see, knowing his ways are important. Knowing his ways is developing friendship, isn't it? The ways of God. You know, sometimes God will lead you and I to do strange things. You know, weird things. Remember that thing I told you about last night about that river on the other side of the building? How many of you were here and heard that? Isn't that, that's weird. Like, I'm like, "Oh, everybody get over to that side of the room." What kind of weird thing is that? Well, as it turns out, it worked. Right? What is that? Well, to me, I kind of stumbled on it, really. I wish I could say to you that I knew because I'm so spiritual. I've got such deep insight that I knew. Well, I stumbled on that truth. That sometimes God shows up in a place greater than other times in different places. Why do we fly to Toronto? Why do we fly into Lakeland? Why do we fly to these places? Because God's there. Well, I thought he was everywhere. Yeah, he is. But you're saying he's everywhere, yet he's there? Yes. It's not either or, it's both. Do we understand it? No, just get over there and get it. Who cares? You know what I mean? Who cares what the label on the can of beans is? Just get the beans, you know? That's the most important thing. So what we're doing is we're understanding God's ways. And you and I need to develop that in our lives, don't we? The longer you're a Christian is the more you know him. The longer you're a Christian is the more you know his ways. The longer that you're a Christian is the more familiar you are with the things that he likes and does not like. But you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that we get what we believe. We get what we act on. We don't necessarily get what we think we believe. Are you following me? You get what you believe. Well, I've been a Christian for 35 years, and I really believe that God can heal the sick. Well, how many sick people have you prayed for in 35 years? Well, three. Well, you don't really believe it. You think you do. But you know what I found? I found you could take a baby Christian, you could take any one of these young people here, and if they started praying for the sick today, And they didn't stop today. You know, 2 years from now, they'd be better at seeing people healed than some of us who've been Christians for 35 years. Why? Because as they continue to do the stuff of the kingdom, they develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and they know His ways. Does that make sense? Yeah? There's some of you in this room who know me better than others. John and his wife know me quite well, and some of you don't. Why? Because we've developed relationship. Moses said, teach me your way so that I might know you and continue to find favor with you. Well, this is not what I wanted to focus on. So he goes on, and him and God are interacting. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 17, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you, God says to Moses. And I know you by name. Wow. I thought God knew everybody's name. Well, does this mean that he didn't know all the names of everybody else? No. God knows everybody's name. But why does he say this to Moses? Because he knows him as a friend. Do you know what the Lord said to me in September? I got to share this. I was in Norway in September. And I was having one of those moments where I was like, God, what's the plan? You know, I always want to know what the plan is. I don't know if any of you are like that. I wish my wife is not like, she could care less about the plan. She just wants to take care of, she's just like Madam Mother. She just wants to take care of our kids. It's all she wants to do. If my wife never left our house and she just took care of the children all day long, she'd be so happy. That's heaven to her. But I want to know the plan. I always want to know the plan. That's been a problem for me. So I said, Lord, what is the plan? You know what the Lord said to me? I tell you, I was in a basement in Norway, in a little place called Hørvåg, little town, and the presence of God came in the room. And the Lord said to me, here's the plan. I want you to know me, and I want to get to know you. I said, What? But you know, when God's presence comes, when He speaks a word to you, that means He really wants you to get it. You know. And I said, Lord, I just sat there and I just started meditating on that. I thought you already knew me. What is He saying? What was He saying? You know what He was saying to me? I want a deeper relationship. That's the plan. I want us to go deeper together, Curtis. I said, okay. Okay, God. Whatever you want. Here's the deal. Look at this. Moses said, now, show me your glory. What is glory? Well, God's going to tell us what it is. Look at this. Moses said, now show me your glory. It's not just enough for me to talk to you in heaven. I want to see you. I want to touch you. I want to feel you. And what does God say to him? Look at what God says to him. Show me your glory. And the Lord says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Hold on a minute. He wasn't asking for that. He was asking for glory. Show me your glory. God says, I'll cause my goodness to pass in front of you. Show me your glory. I will show you my goodness. Show me your glory. I will show you my goodness. Show me your glory. I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. What is the glory of God? It is all that He is. God is good. God is love. God is light. What is the glory of God that we so long for and we talk about? It is when He comes in all of who He is. When He comes and He brings healing, when He brings restoration, salvation, love, peace, joy, righteousness, when He comes, when His manifest presence comes, and we feel it and experience it, that's the glory of God. What we are experiencing this morning is a degree of the glory of God. What we experienced last night was a greater degree of the glory of God. Lord, teach us to recognize Your glory. Amen? Here's what the Scripture says. I'm going somewhere with this. Here's what the Scripture says. I think it's Turn over to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Chapter 2. That's page 1043. Habakkuk chapter 2. Well, you know, Habakkuk's a prophet. He's got a problem. He's seeing all of the stuff that's happening in the world, and he's got an issue with it. So God begins to speak to him. Habakkuk is kind of like a lot of us. Lord, we've heard of your greatness. Well, what's the deal? How come we're not seeing it? Well, we're seeing it now. Here's what Habakkuk says. In chapter 2, verse 14, this is what God says. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. How does this relate to Mount Chapel? How does this relate to our church? Look at this now. Show me your glory. I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. God's glory is his goodness. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now I want you to turn over again to the right. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John. Chapter 2. John says to the believers in chapter 2, verse 20. He's talking about this dark hour and the Antichrist that will come. And he says many Antichrists have already come into the world. But he says, look, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the goodness of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How is that going to happen? That's a promise. That's a promise that is going to happen. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's going to happen. How is it going to happen? Oh, because the mothership is going to land on planet Earth. We need to eliminate this mothership doctrine, church. We really do. This idea, what's the mothership doctrine? It's the idea that all we need to do is get in our closets and pray up a storm, and we just keep praying and keep praying, because one day, boom, it's going to happen. And all of a sudden, the whole city is going to be aware of sin, because God is going to mysteriously descend upon the city, and everybody's going to be so aware of sin like the revivals of old. Folks, you know what? Listen to me. Do you know how the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God? Because those of us, you and me, who have the anointing from the Holy One, are going to take that glory to the ends of the earth. That's how. Church, listen to me. The way that we are going to see the city impacted is by virtue of the glory of God that resides within us. John said, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You do. Well, Curtis, you're talking about this anointing that's in the air. I thought the anointing was something that of God that came upon us. Yes, it is. But now you're telling us the anointing is in us. Yes, I am. Is it either or? No, it's both. You have an anointing from the Holy One. If you are born again and God's seed resides within you, Jesus lives in your body. That's what salvation is. You do realize that, don't you? That we are temples of God's presence. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. God does not reside in buildings made by human hands, as many of us would suppose. That's what Paul says. The Holy Spirit is the beginning. We live inside of us. That's how close he wants to be with his creation. Amen? If you are born again, God lives on the inside of you. The decree of his holy is on the inside of you. Wow! Thank you, Mark. You have an anointing from the Holy One, John says. And look at what else he says. He says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they know me. Listen, church, what I'm trying to say to you is this. You have an anointing from God. You are equipped. You have in you what is necessary to get the purposes of God established or follow me here. Amen? I have an anointing from the Holy One. I know that. I know that. But do you know that you have an anointing from the Holy One? And that you really do not need anyone to teach you. Or the scripture says, another translation says, and you know all things. You know the Spirit of God from something that is not the Spirit of God. Because if you don't, then you don't have the anointing on the inside of you. What I'm trying to tell you is this. We need to put faith in the fact that God lives in us, and we can do what He's asking us to do. Amen. We have an anointing from the Holy One. And then he says this. Later on he says this. He says, in verse 27, as for you, the anointing you received from who? From Him. Remains in you. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, church. Do you believe that that anointing that you have received from Him when you gave your life to Jesus, do you believe that it remains in you? Come on, we have to believe that. We have to know that. Because we'll get what we believe, not what we think we believe. If you really do believe that that anointing that you received from Him still lives in you, well, then that opens up the whole world to us, doesn't it? Because now, it's not up to Curtis Hines to come here and make something happen. I'm speaking to you this morning as a local church. It's not up to me or somebody else or something for you to go get. This is the other side of the same coin. But it's now the fact that the anointing lives in you, and you can make something happen. Amen. Wow, you're looking at me like a, as they say in America, a calf at a new gate. It's okay. You have an anointing from the Holy One. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. Amen. But as His anointing teaches you about all things. Thank you, Lord. And as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it's taught you, remain in Him. That anointing that you have is real. And don't let any circumstance or any person or any wind of doctrine tell you any different. Every single one of us in this place, if you are born again, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And that anointing is real. It comes from Him and teaches you all things. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Here's where I want to go with this. We need like a couple of nights for this, but listen. This is what God wants for us. Are you ready? The anointing that's in you, flowing out of you to everyone that's around you. Say it again. That anointing that's in you to flow out of you to people that are around you. What is that? It's evangelism. I don't like anything with an ism on the end of it. Nothing with an ism on the end of it can be from God. I want to encourage you as a church to begin to recognize that anointing that's in you. Recognize it flowing out of you to people that are around you. Will you do that for me? That's all you need to do to see the walls knocked out of this church and have it grow from where it is to being a mega church in the city. That's all you need to do. Okay, let me say it again. The anointing that's in you, flowing out of you to those around you, it's all that you need to impact your city. I call them being sensitive to the God moments in our lives. What do you mean God moments, Curtis? What does it look like? Give me a picture of what it looks like. 2 weeks ago, I was taking the garbage out of my house. And I was just walking down the driveway. My wife, I don't know, she went into the car for something. I was just taking the garbage out. And I noticed that our neighbor next door to us didn't have their garbage out. Right? Well, you know what it's like. I don't know if you do that here. You put the garbage at the end of the road or what the deal is. But, you know, I mean, everybody puts it out at different times, right? So it's nothing unusual. But something in me just said, we need to go see if they're okay. What was that? That was the anointing that's in me that was beginning to flow out of me. So I said, Deb, we need to go over there and just check them out and see if they're okay. He said, okay, sure. So we knocked on the door. We said, you know, we didn't notice your garbage. Is everything okay? They're an elderly couple. And she looked at us just like, she said, Al just had a heart attack this morning, and he's in the hospital. So immediately, we knew that that anointing that was in us, that flowed out of us, was now about to touch someone around us. So he said, let's pray for him. Can we do that? And she said, okay, come on in. And we sat down in her living room, and we held hands, and we prayed for him in the hospital. She's not a Christian. They're not Christians. And the presence of God came in that room so wonderfully. And she said, oh, I just feel so much peace. It was wonderful. And we said, okay, now we're trusting that everything's going to be fine, that God's touching, everything's going to be good. Yeah? And we left. Now, she did not fall on her face and say, what must I do to be saved? But that doesn't matter. Listen to me very carefully here, folks. The important thing is that God's presence, God's Spirit, moved us to do what He wanted to be done in that moment. Are you following me? It's not about going for the kill. What do I mean by that? We take our high-powered rifle with a sniper scope, and we just zero in on the deer's heart, and we blast away, and yes, we got one, yes, and we come to the church, because that's the only thing that's important, is we go for the kill. No. No, 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 no. John chapter 4, Jesus and the woman at the well. Man, he spent hours with her before he presented truth to her. Hours with her. It could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. The important thing is that the anointing that's in you flows out of you to people that are around you. I want to tell you something, John. This message today is going to change the course. What the Spirit of God is doing is going to change the course of this church today. I can feel it. That's the important thing. Now, I call those God moments. Every single person in this room knows what I'm talking about because you've experienced it. You felt that. Now, what I want to say to you is this. We need to begin to say, Lord, every single day, Lord, increase the flow of your anointing in me, out of me, to people around me. What's that going to look like? I don't know what it's going to look like in your context. I'll share another story with you. I have them every single day. When I don't have them, I feel like something's wrong. Does it lead to salvation? Sometimes it does. Most of the times it doesn't. God is interested in touching people with His love. And you don't have any idea. One sows, another one waters, God makes it grow. Well, there's that growth thing again. He loves growth. And you don't know what how that's all going to work. You can't save anybody anyways. I don't have the power to save anybody. Who the heck do we think we are? It's God that has to birth that person into the kingdom. So you sow the seed, somebody else waters it, and God gives the increase. But it's all part of the process. It's all part of harvesting. It's all part of... Oh, now listen to me. Okay. Listen. Guys, I want to tell you something. When you and I live that kind of life, I want to tell you what happens to you. You get flippin' happy all the time. You will benefit more from that experience than the person that you're ministering to. Oh, I want to revive my Christianity is all crusty. Yeah, of course it is. Because the anointing that's in you is dying to get out of you, but it's not. You're not releasing it. You want to revitalize your Christian life. You don't need to go halfway across the world. Do it if you want to. But just be sensitive in your life to the God moments. And allow the anointing that's in you, that's real, that's in you, to flow out of you to people around you. And I want to tell you something, you will get so happy. There ain't no drugs on planet Earth that would make you as happy. There's nothing that will revitalize your Christian life like that. When you feel the anointing that's in you flowing out of you to people that are around you. I was in the business class lounge, when was this now? April. And, I'm just sitting in the lounge and, you know, I don't fly business class, but I just happened to end up in the lounge there that day. And I'm sitting there talking to my wife on the phone. And I noticed this guy sitting over to my right, and he was well-dressed. I mean, he looked very expensive, this guy. And, if you're in a business class lounge, you can afford a business class ticket. I mean, do you know how ridiculous that is? I mean, you know, it costs you hypothetically, $1,200 to come here from Canada. Business class ticket's like three times as much. And it's the same smelly plane. You know, I don't get it. But anyways, so he's sitting there, and I'm talking to my wife on the phone. I said, wow. So Deb, there's a guy sitting over here. He's looking pretty mean because he had this look on his face like, do not come anywhere near me because I will kill you if you do. And I'm thinking, wow, what's the deal here? So she kind of chuckled a little bit, right? So we're talking away. I look over at him again, and he stands up in the middle of the business class lounge and absolutely bursts into tears. Just loses. So I'm like, Dad, the guy just started crying. You know? And she says, well, go over there and do something. So I hang up the phone. And I'm just sitting there for a minute, just kind of going, okay, well, what do I do here? He walks over to the other side of the room. And he turns his back to everybody. Because he's the poor guy. I mean, I just start to feel so much compassion in my heart for him. Folks, do you know what compassion is? The Bible defines compassion as the place, the deep place where the bowels yearn. It's the deep, it's the, you know what it is? It's, oh! That's compassion. It's, oh! Oh! It's a deep, deep, deep yearning place. What is that? That's the anointing that is in you. Jesus, moved with compassion on them, healed their sick. Moved with Jesus, had compassion on them and healed their sick. It's the anointing. Anointing, compassion, Holy Spirit, fire of God, river of God. It's all God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're all the same. We worship the Father. We worship the Son. And we worship the Holy Spirit. All the same. It's God. So, he goes over to the corner, his back's turned, just absolutely losing it. So I got up and I walked over. And his wife or his girlfriend came over and just put her arms around him like this, and his back was like this, and you saw him just, I don't know what might have happened to that poor guy. And she didn't know what to do. She was just like, you know, this isn't supposed to happen to people like us. So I walked over, and I stood behind him,
And I waved at her. And I said, "Hi. Is there anything that I can do? Please, I'd like to help." And she was so full of pride, poor lady. She didn't know what to do. She just said, no, just leave us alone. But I couldn't leave him alone. So I kind of took another step forward and I said, "Please, I'd like to help. Is there anything I can do?" She said, no, please, just leave him alone. So I just backed up and I went back and I sat down. You know what, folks? That's all that God wanted me to do. The anointing that was in me flowed out of me to someone that was around me. Did I get a positive response? Did I get a godly response? Did I get a "what must I do to be saved"? No, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that we are led by the Spirit. Are you following me? What matters is that the anointing that's in you, that's real, flows out of you to people that are around you. Now, let me finish up by saying this, and then I want to pray for you. I would venture to say, because I've done this all over the world, I've done this in Korea, Japan, Africa, all over Europe, United States and Canada, that 8 out of 10 of you in this room did not come to Jesus because somebody preached to you on a street corner. I would venture to say that the majority of you in this room did not come to Jesus because somebody gave you a tract or some literature and you gave your life to Jesus as a result of that. I would venture to say that 8 out of 10 of you did not come to Jesus because of a television evangelist or because you walked into a crusade all on your own. The majority of us came to faith in Christ because somebody that we knew was a Christian let that anointing that was in them flow out of them to you who were around them. How many of you here came to Jesus because you're walking down the street one day and somebody approached you and said, "Have you ever considered Christ Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your soul?" You came to Jesus because somebody preached to you on a street corner or in a park. Anybody here? Be honest with me. Put your hand up, please. Okay, one person. How many of you came to Jesus because somebody knocked on your door? There was a street outreach and they knocked on your door, you know, a group of young people, and they said, "You know, we're doing invading the city. Do you have any needs here? Can we pray for you?" And you gave your life to Jesus because somebody came to your house and knocked on your door. Anybody? How many of you came to Jesus because one day you were walking down the street and you saw an advertisement on the wall for a crusade, and the evangelist was coming to town? And you decided, you know, "Well, you know, my life is very busy, but I think I'm going to take out of my busy schedule and I'm going to attend this evangelistic crusade." And you gave your life to Jesus because you, of your own accord, went to an evangelistic meeting. Anybody? Wow. How many of you came to Jesus because one day you were watching television and you were just, you know, you're lonely and things were just not working right in your life, and you heard the evangelist preach on the TV, and he said, "Now say this prayer after me," and you said the sinner's prayer and gave your life to Jesus. Anybody? How many of you are saved here? I just have to check. Now, how many of you came to Christ because you knew a Christian who led you to Jesus or brought you to a meeting where you surrendered your life to God? Put your hands up. Well, that's fascinating. What does that tell us? That tells us that what I'm saying to you works. So, here's a commission. Starting today, I want you every single day of your life to be sensitive to the God moments. Every single minute of every day, be sensitive to that anointing that's in you. And allow that anointing that's in you to flow out of you to people around you. Because you know what? Somebody did it, and that's why you're here. how are we going to see the city impacted? How are we going to see this church filled? And I want to say this. Let me say it. I need to establish this. I'm going to drive this into the ground 6 feet, a stake 6 feet into the ground. Church is where God shows up. Church is about 10:30, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning with the children and the worship and the offering and the breaking of bread and the drinking of His blood. Church is about youth ministry. Church is about setting up the chairs. Church is about us coming together, gathered together, and worshiping together, hearing God's word together. This is where it happens. Amen. This is church. Curtis, why are you saying that? You know why I'm saying that? Because this. There is an effort right now out there to dismantle, deconstruct, and redesign, and reinterpret all of this stuff. And I want to tell you, it's wrong. I think, yeah, we need to be creative. We need to understand the culture and all of this stuff. I'm all into that. Completely into that. Postmodernism, I'm into it. Like it's all cool. It's all cool. But you know what? Here's the reality. The reality is, if 90% of us came to Jesus because somebody let the anointing that's in them flow out of them to us, to those who are around them, brought us to a place, brought us to a church meeting where we gave our lives to Christ, why are we trying to change it? I say no in Jesus' name. And we need to revalue again with a strong emphasis the gathering. I want to tell you folks, you guard this, protect it, nurture it, say that it's God, speak well of it, invest in it, throw all of your finances, your time, your energy, your money behind the gathering. Because this is a place where God shows up and ministers to us. This is a place where God shows up and heals us and teaches our children. This is a place where we experience His broken body and His shed blood. This is a place where we bring people to meet God. We need to drive it into the ground. Now, this gathering is valuable. Are you following me? And I want to say to you, church, if you have not been giving, you need to give. If you have not been investing your time, you need to invest your time. If you've been wandering from church to church, stop it! And invest in the kingdom of God. If you've been kind of, I could take it or leave it, stop it. That's going to stop this church from moving into the place that God wants it to. Is when we have a take it or leave it attitude. But what I'm saying to you this morning is this. No, we're not going to do that, are we? We're going to drive the stake into the ground. Listen to me. Listen, let me tell you something. I had a word for somebody yesterday. The same word, and I'm going to repeat it again to you. Listen. Yesterday was in the tomb. Tomorrow is in the womb. Today is what we have. And what you need to do as a church is you need to forget about what happened yesterday. Stop talking about it. It doesn't exist. God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. He's not the God of yesterday. He's the God of today. Every single time where Gideon would say, who are you talking about? God would call him a mighty man of valor. Why? Because he was looking at his future. He wasn't looking at his past. It was true that he was the smallest of his clan and the smallest of all the tribes. It's true. But God doesn't look at what's true. He looks at what his heart is. Yesterday's dead. Tomorrow is in the womb. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that that womb in this church would just, what you have in the womb for this church would just grow and be healthy, Father. Thank you, Jesus. That baby would be given birth, Lord God. No sooner is Zion travailed than that she gives forth. She brings forth. Oh God, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for any attitudes or anything that we've done to sow into the flesh here, Father. Forgive us. Wash that away. But Lord, we look towards tomorrow. We look towards today. And we declare today that your kingdom come. Today your will be done. Let your kingdom come here, Father. And your will be done here, Lord God. And Lord, we just decide this morning that we're going to say yes to you and to the things that you want to do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to share a quick story with you and then I'm done. I was in a vineyard church in Stevenage last month. And I was sharing this very same stuff with a man. I mean, I even had a shorter time to share with him. And, we released the anointing. We just released that on everybody. I got an email about 2 or 3 weeks later. And the pastor said, Curtis, you won't believe this, but the people are doing what you said. You know, it's amazing for a pastor when that happens, you know. And he said, and we're getting people now coming to the church because people are inviting them like never before. Church, listen to me. You need to begin to invite people to come to church. Well, I don't like my church. How many people I've talked to? I wouldn't invite my friends here. But then what are you doing there? You know, I wouldn't invite my friends here, but I'd come here. What? Listen, we need to invite people to come. Why? Because when they come, God shows up. But God can show up on the streets too. Yeah, but He's not, is He? Shows up when we're here. Right? And the reality is, Jesus, when we're all together like this, and we're all lifting our hands, and we're worshiping, and we're just, wow, just going for Jesus. Oh, it's so attractive. And God's presence comes. You need to begin, again, to invite your neighbors, invite your friends to church. See what God. Are you following me? What's going to happen, Curtis, when we do that? I'll tell you what will happen. They'll get saved. You need to begin every single time you're together to give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. Yeah, but there's only 5 people here, Curtis. I mean, like, you know, it doesn't matter. So into it. So into it. So into it. So. You know, folks, I'm at a stage right now in my faith where I know for a fact that if you gave me a room full of people that do not know Jesus, I'm going to get a whole bunch of them. The majority of them are going to come to Christ. I know it. Why do you know that, Curtis? Well, because I preach the gospel hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of times. And I just have faith for that. See, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because of this. If you don't do it, your faith won't grow. I have a friend of mine in where's that city? Major high homosexual population. Brighton. And he's got a church in Brighton. And he said to me, he said, Curtis, last year I just decided very simply that every single time we have church, I am going to give an invitation for people to come to Jesus. He said, and you know what? He said, I just thought, I'm going to do it real simply. I'm just going to say, now, if there's any of you here that have never given your life to Jesus, and you want to, I would like you to do that right now. But first, I'd like everyone to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And you know what he said to me? He said 2-3 people almost every single week are coming to Christ now. Hello? God responds to faith. Are you with me? So, here's the deal. Let the anointing that's in you, when you're leaving here in a couple of minutes, let the anointing that's in you flow out of you to everyone around you. I want you to start valuing this gathering again. Like never before. Value it. Start inviting your friends to come to church. And start acting every single week like this place is full of people who need Jesus. Will you do that? Amen. Please stand.